We hear all the time about the great pressures on the publishing industry. It's just really hard to make money making or selling books. Now, think about how that information reaches you. If not through the radio, you probably read it somewhere. So we certainly have not stopped reading. So there are still a whole lot of people involved in creating printed material, whether in paper form or set up for electronic devices. Authors and their books, in whatever form, are celebrated at the Book and Author Festival, coming to Southern Oregon University's Hannon Library this Saturday, September 20th. The two guests on the microphones, Jeffrey Gayton, who is Southern Oregon University's librarian and director of the Learning Commons. Jeffrey, welcome to you.
Thank you very much.
And Phila Winfrey is with us as well. She's the outreach specialist at the Hannon Library. Phila, welcome back to The Exchange.
Hi, thanks.
So, first of all, let's talk about you, Jeffrey, because you're new to the job. Just 2 months plus ago.
That's correct.
Replacing Paula Daly in the library dean who retired. But director of the Learning Commons makes your title that much more interesting. Tell us about that part of it.
The Learning Commons is actually a really special place. It's a little bit unique for academic libraries. It's starting to become more popular. But it's basically a tutoring operation. We have tutoring for we have a writing center. So if students are having trouble with papers, they can come in and they can talk and get some advice. It's a walk-in system, so you can just come in any time that the center is open. We also have tutoring for math and some science. And those programs are, I think, very, very special because they're peer-based. It's students working and with other students. And sometimes students are uncomfortable with faculty. They feel a lot of pressure. They're just nervous. They don't want to seem like they don't know what they're doing or that they need some help. So being able to work with peers is a very valuable thing. And in math, it's actually especially valuable. A lot of people actually just come into the tutoring center for math, and they just work in groups on their assignments. They don't even necessarily talk to a tutor, but it's a kind of a collaborative way to work and learn. And actually, there have been a lot of studies that show that that's a very, very useful way to learn mathematics.
So even in the absence of a tutor, somebody can say, hey, I think I know that one, and off they go.
Exactly. And if they do have a question, there's someone on hand who can answer their question. We also have career advising as part of the Learning Commons, which is also a very valuable resource.
Which sort of answers what my original first question was, which is, have the use and management of college libraries changed greatly over the years? And it sounds like they're certainly evolving.
They are. I mean, there are certain functions that we're trying to provide new services, but really, it's really important to me to keep those services related to the mission of the library. Libraries are about providing people with information. Well, career advising, that's providing people with information. Tutoring is also about providing information. It's all about learning, and it's all very much part of the mission of the library and the university.
Is a university library in general a somewhat drier place than a general-use library? There's going to be more academic-type things there, right?
That's generally the tenor. We do have public users who are welcome to come and use the library, but yeah, it's going to be a more serious space, The materials are different. It's really much more related to the curriculum and to research.
But the Book and Author Fair is now in its third incarnation,
yes.
Correct? Okay. Tell us a little bit about the history of the event. I know it's new to you, but...
It is new to me. Mm-hmm. This is our third year. It started in 2012. It was initiated by the Friends of Hannon Library, and they continue to remain a sponsor of the event. We have about 80 participants. Some of them are authors. Some of them are publishers, illustrators. And they come and they have the opportunity to talk about what they're doing, what they're working on, sell their products. We also have a lot of panel discussions and things like that. In the past years, we've had about 400 attendees, and it's a great opportunity to, if you're a writer, to learn, to make some connections with the publishing industry, to get tips about writing, promotion, things like that.
So is it more for writers, more for readers?
It's really for both. I mean, readers are, of course, going to have a great opportunity to see what's published and what's coming out that has especially a local interest, because the majority of the people that are coming as publishers or authors, they're local, they're from the Rogue Valley. We do have some participation from Northern California authors and publishers and as far north as Washington. But we really do try to connect with and promote the Rogue Valley publishing and writing field.
And the topic, again, is the Book and Author Festival at the Southern Oregon University Hannon Library coming up on Saturday, September 20th. Jeffrey Gayton's the SOU librarian. Phila Winfrey is an outreach specialist. You can join us at 800-838-3760 around the region. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Check out the picture of our guests on Facebook. Make some comments there if you'd like. So why make the move, though, from having the Book and Author Fair in the springtime to the fall?
We have a lot of events in the spring. One of the biggest events that we have is the Southern Oregon Arts and Research Conference, and it became very, very difficult to manage kind of back-to-back events. That was the main reason we changed it.
And so, Phila, you've been involved with the first two author fairs, haven't you, Book and Author Fairs?
I have, yes.
As well as this one. So what are some of the differences if people have gotten used to the event that they will see this year?
That is an exciting part. The first couple of years were really much just getting people to know about the event. And so this year I'm hearing about it from, you know, everyone in the community. So word is now out there. People know about us. The biggest change, I think, this year is that we have a lot more in terms of the activities. Our schedule all day long is booked up with presentations and panel discussions and workshops, more than we've ever had in the first 2 years combined.
So give us some idea of what some of the events are. I mean, what do you think will be the big draw for this Jeffrey Gayton?
That's going to be tough. It's really going to depend on what some of the audience is going to be most interested. I think it's going to be most interesting for people who are interested in publishing, maybe are writers themselves, who are going to have great opportunities for tips for promotion of their materials, for self-publishing, for going with a publisher. It's a new world for writers out there. So I think that's going to be one of the things that could be very, very interesting to kind of create more of a culture of publishing and writing. Of course, we do have a lot of outreach for our readers because it's really going to be all about them.
Well, in a sense, I mean, while there have been lots of difficulties in the publishing industry, and yes, there's lots to read out there about it all the time, about downward pressures on prices and upward pressures on just being able to produce in digital formats in addition to producing in book form. But it seems that there's also been something akin to a democratization of the process, because just about anybody can get a book published for not too much money and for not too many copies either. Is that right?
Well, that's true. I mean, you can do a lot of self-publishing through Amazon, and I think that's a big part of what some of the things that Amazon is doing to try to really perhaps cut out the middleman of the publisher. I think that there's always going to be room for a publisher. Not everyone can self-publish. You know, for every story about a successful writer who published and self-published on Amazon and did great, there are hundreds and hundreds of people who are languishing in the reader and sales rankings in Amazon. So I think there is always going to be room for some sort of promotion, and that's true in the publishing industry. I think that's true in the music industry. There are tools that you can use online to find people, but I think there's still going to be room for publishing.
Some real parallels, as you point out, between the publishing and the music industries. I was just hearing this morning on the way into work about the big splash that U2 made with its new release, which they basically released the album through iTunes for free.
Yeah.
Right away, but a lot of people didn't like that. They thought they were getting viruses or something. So how you approach people can make a big difference in today's world in putting media out of any kind.
Yeah. I'm coming at it from a little different perspective. The publishing is interesting to me, but one of the things that I'm most intrigued by is what the digital publishing is doing to writing, actually. We're seeing it in academia, and we're also seeing it in the more creative reading for pleasure. In academia, the switch to a lot of online and electronic resources is really promoting a journal-driven research model. So people are writing articles, and they're not writing as much books. And I think that's partly because people aren't necessarily comfortable reading a large piece on their Kindle or their iPad. And we see the same thing. I've read that collections of short stories and shorter novels are actually doing quite well on Amazon in electronic publishing, again, because it seems that people are more comfortable reading a smaller chunk of text on their electronic devices. So that's interesting to me, how this might be changing, the switch to digital production might be changing how people are actually writing and researching as well as reading.
So the form does indeed change the substance then, or at least the length of the substance.
I think it can. I mean, I'm more or less platform agnostic. I like print. I like reading on my iPad. But it's interesting to me how I read differently depending on what media I'm using or media.
In terms of length pressure, is that because of people just the level of comfort with the electronic devices, or does that have something to do as well with the amount of time people have to spend?
It's tough to say. I mean, I think about how I use my devices, and when I'm looking at my iPad or reading something, it's usually for a brief stretch. If I want to sit down and read something for 3 hours at a stretch, I'm not really going to be as comfortable doing it on my iPad. I'm going to look for print.
Mm-hmm. Well, the old curl up with a good book thing still very much in force, it sounds like.
I think so, yeah.
All right, you mentioned Amazon, which is interesting because you probably could have had one whole session here at any book and author fair, book and author festival in this case, about Amazon, whether it's the savior or the great Satan. It seems like there's quite a division of opinion there in the publishing business.
I think there is, and I'm not sure how I feel about it. I really don't. I mean,
agnostic on that too.
I am agnostic on that. I mean, I buy a lot of stuff from Amazon. I do. I love a lot of the things that they do. it's sort of the Google don't be evil. You know, there's the assumption that what they're doing is for, or they claim very strongly that what they're doing is for the author. And it may be, it may not be. I always take those kinds of claims of altruism or looking out for this is our sole interest. I take those with a healthy grain of salt.
So there are a couple of panel speaker events involved with the Book and Author Festival. Let's talk about those.
No, feel it.
Sure. We've got, I think, four or so panels, and one of them that will be a lot of interest to a group here is Writing Oregon's History, and it's got Ed Battistella, whom has been in the media a lot lately for his latest book, as well as Robert Arellano. He's actually an SOU professor here, and Diane Goes-Gardner. And so they're just going to talk about the different topics in writing history books about Oregon, local history. Diane Goes-Gardner, she's written a couple of great books about some of the more exciting parts of Oregon history, like the Oregon Asylum, which was the location of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and, you know, female criminals in Oregon history. And so that's going to be, I think, an interesting one for our group. And then there's also going to be, you know, a mystery panel. That's mystery writing is kind of a big thing here in the Rogue Valley. So every year we've done a successful mystery panel, and that's going to keep on going. And my personal favorite, we will have a panel on fantasy and science fiction. And that, again, those are just going to be a couple of mostly local authors, they're established published authors, just talking about different topics in writing in these particular genres, and it's going to be, you know, open to audience to just kind of meet with these authors and get a little bit of insight from them.
Let us take a call. We have Joyce and Ashlyn on the line. We're talking about the Book and Author Festival with Jeffrey Gayton and Phila Winfrey from the Southern Oregon University Hannon Library. Hi, Joyce.
Hi. The fun thing for me about the festival has always been being able to chat up with the authors, meet the authors, and it's so revealing and, a great deal of excitement and fun, and I think that's all part of it, too. Can't neglect the public coming in to meet and talk with the writers who have been producing all this work.
Did you get a chance to pick their brains for ideas about how they work?
Yes, and most of the time they are free and open to, to discussion. It's really enlightening.
All right. Joyce, thanks for that. Appreciate it. So, Jeffrey, you got a good leg up from at least one person who wants to come back and talk to authors again.
Yeah, it's a wonderful opportunity. I think the authors like to talk about their work. They like to meet their readers. You know, there can be a little bit of a disconnect sometimes. You know, you don't know necessarily who's reading your books. And I think maybe I've given them an impression that this is really going to be a kind of an author-focused event. And I think readers are actually going to have a lot to get out of it. We've got a reading workshop from Ken Kesey. So I think there'll be a lot of interest there for readers as well.
Okay. Yeah, we looked at the right preposition there. On Ken Kesey, not from
yes.
Ken Kesey.
Yes, on.
Much
about.
Harder these days. So if it's a book and author festival, people can buy books, I'm assuming.
Yes, they can. The authors and the publishers will have books for sale. We recommend cash. Cellular service in Hannon Library is not the best, so the ability to process credit card transactions is not very good. We've encouraged all of the publishers and authors who are selling their works to make sure that they've got cash for change.
All right. Can they buy paper and electronic books?
I'm not sure.
They can buy paper. Depending on how the different authors are set up, they may or may not have a method for buying electronic, but I do know that a good portion of our authors also have Kindle or an e-book versions of their work available out there.
Does anybody not publish with Kindle and e-book versions anymore of books? Hard to imagine anybody wouldn't.
Well, I'm trying to think.
I've seen a few who go more towards the iTunes model. So, whether you're reading an e-book or a Kindle, it doesn't seem like everyone always does in both.
All right, but there's a digital version.
There's a digital, not maybe Amazon.
All right, nobody goes paper only anymore. And I understand, too, this is a family-friendly event. What kind of things are there for kids at the Book and Author Festival?
Well, we'll have a kids' workshop where kind of pitched to an age group between 3 and 10, where there'll be activities, there'll be coloring, what other kinds of things?
There'll be coloring, bookmaking, some storytelling, just ongoing activities for kids to do throughout the day.
Yeah, it'll be open during the entire Book and Author Festival, so that's 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
10 a.m. to 4 p.m., is there an admission charge?
There is no admission, and there's free parking, too.
Free? Well, I was about to ask about parking.
Yep.
Because, the nearest parking lot's a block away from the library, but will that one be open for everybody?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And the construction stuff will all be shoved off to one side, I'm thinking.
Yeah, and we'll be doing that later this afternoon.
All right. So that is the Book and Author Festival number 3 coming up at the Hannon Library on the Southern Oregon University campus this Saturday, 10 to 4. Admission is free. Parking is free. Jeffrey Gayton is SOU's librarian. Phila Winfrey is the outreach specialist. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much.